Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Good morning, LAT. It's an honor and a privilege to be standing before you. I count it as an opportunity not to be wasted. Dear Holy Spirit, I pray for power to communicate and power to assimilate. May everyone under the sound of my voice be transformed supernaturally into a manifestation of these things that we are talking about in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, something good is going to happen to you. Hallelujah. For our first-time visitors who may not know my name, I'm Hilary Turiagenda, also known as Doc Hill. This is our second Sunday together. Last Sunday, we talked about walking with God, the first part of it, the first aspect of it, which is walking by faith, taking our analogy from Enoch, who walked with God for 300 years, and finding out that Hebrews tells us he did it by faith. And what kind of faith, or faith in what sense? Faith in the sense that he believed God is, and that he believed God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, which parallels verse 1 of Hebrews 11, which says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, the evidence of things not seen is related to the belief in God is, or be God being, hallelujah, or God existing, or which also relates to calling those things that be not as though they were. They be not on earth or in the physical realm, but you know they are in the spirit realm or in the spirit world. So you call those things that be not, which now takes you to the other side of the subject, which is the substance of those things hoped for. Glory to God. The belief in that he is relates to evidence of things not seen, and the belief that is a rewarder relates to the substance of things hoped for. Hopes are aspirations or desires. So we showed that the hopes, the aspirations that we have in God are actually ways in which we seek him. We are not seeking things ultimately. We are seeking him, but we seek him through his interventions. Thus, we seek the things of God, but we are seeking the things of God so that we can encounter the God of those things. Hallelujah. So we use the opportunities of our day-to-day life, not some other outlandish thing. We are living with God in our life, in the scenarios of our life. That's where we are meeting God and living with God. Hallelujah. So as Hebrews 11 illustrated, the people that came through in the Bible are living their lives in their proximate situations, where encountering God in those very situations. They didn't encounter God in someone else's life. They encountered God in their lives, in how their lives played out in their lives. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So today we're talking about number two, which is that we walk with God by walking in love. Now, 1 John tells us this in so many words, so many ways. It tells us that whoever walks in love, 1 John 4, verse, a number of verses here, but let's look at verse 8, which says, he that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. This is verse 16. God is love, And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, from verse 8 to 16. Verse 16 again, I read, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us," or "hath to us." God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So God is love, and we are being told that whoever dwells in love dwells in God. This is an important and very plain way of putting it, that if you're trying to find out, how do I walk with God? Just walk in love. Walk in love, and therefore it matters to know then what is walking in love. And as you've seen many times from what has been preached by different people and what is written in the scripture, the word of God is very interesting. When you read the word of God, you can think it is telling you that no, now the commandments are done with. What we have is something else called love. That's the only commandment we are to walk by. And you are right in saying that, but again, you forget that Jesus said that the whole law is summarized in this, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and all your strength, and then you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is how the law has always been. Jesus was saying that, he was asked by someone that, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, the greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and soul and strength. And then says, and the second is like unto it, that you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. That was what the commandment and the commandments were, even long before Jesus came. That's how the commandments were. Jesus is not the one who turned those commandments into being love commandments. No, they were love commandments. And when Jesus showed up, he only clarified that this is what the commandments are. And when you go to the commandments, you'll find that it is there. It actually says those things. Hallelujah. So the commandments are actually love. So when Jesus comes and he says, I'm giving you a new commandment, and then he still adds and says, but the new commandment is the old one. And then he says, and that commandment is that you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the law. Praise the Lord. So you see that actually the law wasn't an obstacle to people walking with God, as we sometimes imagine. The law was actually failed by man's nature. And the Bible says that finding fault with them, therefore he sets a new day saying, he sets a new commandment, and then he says, you know, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Glory to God. Anyway, so I wanted to show us that the law is love. And then now when you come and find in Romans 13, it's telling us that that all these sayings, do not commit adultery, do not steal, they are all comprehended in that one saying, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, because love does no ill to its neighbor or to his neighbor, and therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So when we say that if you dwell in love, you dwell in God, that's what we are saying. Notice 1 John 4 told us there that if you cannot love your neighbor whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? That's what the Bible is telling us. You cannot love God whom you have not seen, and yet you don't love your neighbor whom you see. I think this is a very important point. It's bringing us back to that understanding that, you see, God is not visible. He is not, which was seen in the faith aspect. God is not visible. You don't see him. So that conviction of him existing, though you don't see him, is seen in your actions. Your actions show whether you believe he is there, whether you believe he exists. Hallelujah. And it's natural then that from your walk of faith proceeds your walk of love, that now the person who believes God is there, that's the person who is compelled to love his neighbor. Because notice, if you don't love your neighbor whom you can see, how can you say you love God whom you don't see? That's what we are saying. So in loving your neighbor, you profess to see God whom you don't see. In seeing that God whom you don't see through the evidence of the love of your neighbor, then you do get to see God and you do get to walk with God. I think that should say it better than anything else. And that's what the law is about. That's what walking in. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 is not a new law. When it talks about love is patient, love is kind, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, love does not keep a record of wrongs, love believes all things, hopes all things, and so on. This is not a new law that is different from the laws that have always been there. It is the same old law of love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength. But because you love him that much, let it be evident in your love of your neighbor. Because the love of your neighbor is the evidence of your belief in the existence of a God whom you don't see. That's why you love your neighbor. The person that doesn't believe God is there. Oh, like last time how we said that some people believe God is not there, but if he's there, he's the devil. That kind of person has no impulse to love his neighbor. He has no incentive to love his neighbor because he doesn't believe God exists. Oh, he thinks if God does exist, he must be the devil. That's why the world is so mean. That's why things are so bad. So why do I have to be good to you? The world is a rough place. Why should I have to be good to my neighbor? I mean, you'd rather do unto them before they do unto you, because if you don't do unto them before they do unto you, they'll do unto you before you do unto them. Glory to God. Hallelujah, it's the law of the jungle out there. But it comes from belief in God, in the sense of belief in his existence, which turns into also belief in his goodness. Then comes the love of your neighbor as a way of accessing this God, as a way of getting in touch with God. You get in touch with God through people. Glory to God. And that's why the Bible tells us that through your care and love for the people, you love God. Hallelujah. And therefore, you dwell with God and he dwells with you. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 John. Now, when you go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it tells us, he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he is going, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So simply put, we walk with God by walking in love. Hallelujah. Not only because walking in love is walking in the light rather than the dark, where you can't see your way, but also because you cannot love God whom you don't see when you don't love your fellow man whom you see. Glory to God. The loving of your fellow man is because of the belief in the existence of God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. The belief in the existence of the one you don't see is the one that compels you to love your fellow man, to be kind and good and so on. Because if God didn't exist, none of that would be relevant or important or would matter. But also, hallelujah, also it is the belief that you know, if all things consist in him, the Bible says that by him all things consist, whether things present, whether things to come, whether things invisible or things visible, they all are held together. In him they consist. That belief that in him they consist is the one that makes you appreciate that, man, these creations of these people who are here are here because of the goodness of God. They are here because God is sustaining them. He's the one who has kept people alive. He's the one who has kept people around. He's the one who has kept. And so those marvels make you love the things. You see, like someone said, if you love the king's kids, then you love the king. If you love the king, then you love the king's kids. But if you don't love the king's kids, either it's because you don't believe they are the king's kids, or because you believe the king doesn't exist actually. So in any case, then they wouldn't be the king's kids, because the king doesn't exist anyway. Hallelujah. praise the name of Jesus. But if they're the king's kids, then you love them because you know the king is alive. The king exists. Praise the Lord. Now, the third aspect of walking with God, praise the name of Jesus, is what I call, and somehow it has come in a little bit in the love bit, is what I call recognizing divine appointments. We walk with God through the recognition of divine appointments. What that means is that you expect to encounter God in certain events or certain encounters that he sets up for you along the way, that certain encounters you come across or you run into are going to bring you into contact with God. Now, in the faith part, we've looked at that in a sense, in a measure. Then we've come into the love part where we've also said you can't love God whom you don't see. When you don't love the man that you see, that would seem to imply that the man that you see is actually a contact of God, is a God contact. So in your interactions with people, you are interacting with God. That is how the Bible tells us that some people, by entertaining strangers, have entertained angels unawares. So that means that they were just dealing with normal human beings, and then it turned out that some of those people were angels certain times. You see that? That doesn't mean that some human beings are angels. No, it just means that angels manifest themselves in human form sometimes. It also happened in Abraham's time when he was in the plains of Mamre and three visitors were passing by his property, and he invited them in, gave them a meal and so on. He didn't know that they were divine beings, but it turned out that one of them was the Lord and two of them were angels, because at the end of Genesis 18, as you get into chapter 19, the Bible tells us the two men left and went towards the valley of Sodom. And then in chapter 19, as it's beginning, says then two angels appeared in Sodom. You see that it seems plain that these two men who left were the two angels that appeared. Anyway, what I'm saying is that through interaction with what to him were just humans, it turned out that he was interacting with God himself. Glory to Jesus. So divine appointments, very important thing. Sometimes it means the encountering of angels, like Hebrews 13 tells us, don't forget to entertain strangers, because thereby some have entertained angels unawares, just like Abraham entertained angels unawares. Glory to God. But God encounters can also be now where it is not that you're encountering angels as such, you're just encountering normal people. But before I talk about those, there is the examples of the road to Emmaus, when the two men were walking on the road to Emmaus, and one of them was called Cleopas after the death and resurrection. But they didn't know Jesus had already resurrected. They were just moving around. And without going into so much detail about it, this is why we need to understand that after Jesus resurrected, he did not walk on earth the way he used to before he resurrected. After he resurrected, he used to appear to the disciples and then disappear, and then appear and disappear. So even when he tells us for those 40 days that he was around, from the time he resurrected to the time he ascended, for example, the time he came to them in the upper room and the doors were shut, the Bible says he appeared in their midst. Thomas wasn't there that day. Thomas was told the story. And then the Lord came back again. I think it was like a week later. He came again, and this time Thomas was present, and Thomas was like, my Lord and my God, and told him, because you have seen, you believe, but blessed are they that have not seen but believed. And then he told him, put your hands in the holes in my hands and see, and then put your hand in my side and do not be disbelieving but believe, because the spirit has not flesh and bones. And so he's told to touch, to feel, and so on. The Lord he's touching has a physical body, but this physical body has the properties or the ability to disappear. And so, again, he disappears. See, if Jesus had been around in a permanent sense Thomas wouldn't have had to be surprised by the Lord that day. He would have just been told, Jesus is at such and such a house, and he would have gone there, but he wasn't. So for those 40 days, Jesus would appear and reappear and appear, and these were some of the appearances. No wonder some people, like Thomas, doubted whether he had even resurrected, because the sightings of Jesus were to the chosen few, I should say, though the few culminated in over 500 brethren on the day of the ascension. The Bible says he appeared to over 500 brethren. You find that in 1 Corinthians 15 at the beginning there, in the first few verses. So what I'm saying is that he kept appearing and reappearing, and that's how an incident like what happened with the two men on the road to Emmaus came up. They were walking, and then someone just appeared beside them and started talking with them. He's like a normal human being. They're having a conversation, and then the conversation ends up in the fact of what's happening in Jerusalem. They're even asking him, are you the only one who doesn't know what has happened? That the Lord has been crucified, and so on. And they don't know that they're talking to the Lord himself, because the Bible clarifies, saying that he appeared to them in another form. In others, in a form that's not the usual. So probably his appearance was different. Not probably, that's the fact. It was different because he was in another form. So anyway, they encountered the Lord. So I'm saying that now, in those three examples I've given, the Hebrews 13 example, the Abraham example, and then the example of the two men on the road to Emmaus, including Cleophas, those were encounters with supernatural beings. And they were encounters of God, but they were encounters with supernatural beings disguised as normal humans. But I also want to say that those are not the only encounters with humans or human-like, or what to us are humans, that are divine appointments. There are also divine appointments where what to us are humans are actually real humans. They are not angels, they are not Jesus, they are not supernatural beings, but they are still divine appointments. Like when Abraham met Melchizedek. Melchizedek, whom people think was God because the Bible says he has no lineage, was actually a man. Hebrews tells us that, consider how great this man was. Melchizedek was a man. Now, how Abraham knew that Melchizedek was of such a stature that deserved to be given tithes, I do not know. But I'm trying to say that that is how, if we are to walk with God, we are going to need to have that kind of sixth sense, where we know that I'm meeting a man, but how great this man is, or how great this woman is. And that is not from the cultic sense. I'm not talking about worshipping them or anything like that. No, I'm talking about for us to realize that the person that we are meeting is key in our lives, is going to bring a turning point in our lives. So Melchizedek was a man, just like some of you will meet a person of a tribe you've always said you'll never marry from, but the day you meet them, you're like, this is the man I'm going to marry. And they are the wrong tribe, in quotes. They are the wrong tribe. They are from the wrong side of town. And you've always said, I'll never marry a person from that tribe. And you end up knowing that this is the person. My friend, go ahead and marry that person. Go ahead and do that deal with that person, because they are a divine appointment for you. Through that encounter, you are actually meeting God. So that's our point number three, that we walk with God through recognizing divine appointments. Recognize your Melchizedek. Recognize your husband. Recognize if you're a Rebecca and they've sent Eliezer to get a husband for Isaac. Glory to God. And this man comes and speaks. You've never met him. You've never probably heard about Isaac. Glory to God. Or maybe you have, but you've never thought about him. What's going to make you say, let me feed your donkeys, let me give water to you, but also I'll give some water to your donkeys? What's going to make you say that? What's going to make you say, let me go with this man? Because her parents asked her, are you willing to go with this man? And she said, yes, I'll go with this man. And that's the scripture people usually quote at traditional weddings when they say, should we eat the things? In other words, the things they've brought, should we eat them? They normally quote that scripture in the Bible, even tutubirie, which is translated, should we eat the things? And she said, yes, meaning I'm willing to go. How did she know that she should go with Isaac? How did she know that Isaac is her divine appointment, is a divine appointment for her? I'm saying it is like a sixth sense. Nobody can know that for you. It is only you that can know it. And I'm saying that in knowing it, you are giving yourself a chance at walking with God. Now we come to our number four, which is working the laws of increase. Number one is walking by faith. Number two is keeping ourselves in the love of God. Number three is recognizing divine appointments. And then number four is working the laws of increase. Now, when I talk about working the laws of increase, I usually say that there are two laws of increase. And the laws of increase are simply that, like 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6 to 9 tells us, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he who planted anything, nor he who watered anything, but God who gave the increase. And then it says, we are laborers together with and for God. You are God's building, you're God's farmland. Hallelujah. Now, he says God giving the increase is a reference to God doing his part. You do your part and God does his part. In other words, God pays for what he orders. And how he pays for it is that it will thrive. What God is for will thrive. Hallelujah. So I say that the laws of increase are simply one, the law of obedience. And that's what you see in the word of God, that God always rewards obedience, that he pays for what he orders. In the Bible, the word increase is the same word like the word for growth. You cultivate, and then what you cultivate grows. The Bible says he gives a man, when you sow a seed of whatever kind, whether it is corn or wheat or whatever, God gives it a body as he chooses. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. Now, he gives it a body as he chooses, as his approval of what has been done. So obedience is the first law of increase. God rewards obedience. Even when we talk about the hundredfold, the sower went to sow, he sowed seeds on the different grounds, which were different hearts of men. And the different hearts yielded differently according to their state. The ground that was by the wayside, you know that one. It's the ground of those who are what? Glory to God. Who don't understand the word of God. So the enemy comes and steals the word, like birds that come and pick up the seeds. Then there's the stony ground. These are the ones that receive the word of God and are known with joy. They're excited. But when the sun comes, they wither. Or when persecutions arise because of the word of God, they turn back and are offended. Then there's the third one, which are the thorny ground. And the thorny ground are those who receive the word, but the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and they yield nothing. But then the fourth type of ground are those who receive the word and in a good heart with patience bring forth much fruit. Now, much fruit is the increase. With patience, in a good heart with patience, they bring forth much fruit. So the first law of increase is obedience. The second law of increase is continual obedience. You see that there's something there about patience, about doing the time. Doing the time of doing it. Glory to God. When you do the time, increase comes or yields come. Now, yields, you see, are the evidence of walking with God. Remember, Paul said we are co-workers with God. Working and walking with God are related. You walk with God by working with God. That's what we are essentially saying in working the laws of increase. You walk with God by working with him, and the evidence that you are working with him will be the increase or the yield that God gives to what you are doing. Glory to God. We have to end it here. We remind you to listen in at 6:30 p.m. on Impact FM 98.4 for the program by our pastor Moses called The Words of Moses. Thank you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.